you want to turn over with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And even in the Apostle Paul's time and writing to Timothy, there was a real danger of apostasy. And it's very real, and it's very real today. We can, at the end of chapter 1, he talks about a few people, and I can't even pronounce their names. But it talks about in 15 and 16, that this thou knowest, that all they who are in Asia turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. And it goes on, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. You know, some had strayed from the truth, and some had followed the Apostle Paul. And again, we see that today. We see that many times today. And he goes on here in verse 1 of chapter 2. It says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And that's what we're going to revolve our whole sermon around this morning, is to be strong in the grace. It's not be strong in our own grace, not be strong in our own selves, but it's in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the only way we can receive that is through his son, Jesus Christ. So where is this grace that is in Christ? And the first thing that I came up with this morning is that we are free from the guilt of sin. If you have already put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have already put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, you are free from the guilt of sin. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. You know, I can remember back to as a kid, and I can't even think of what the thing's called, but 20 years ago, we didn't have a projector like this, but we had it had a light bulb and a transparency or whatever it did. I can't remember what they're called, but overhead projector, there's the word. So as a kid, I can remember I was 7 or 8 years old, and my mom would always use this overhead projector. And she drew a picture of, you know, humans. She put my name on it, Nathan. And then she put Christ on top of it. And if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father no longer sees you. When he looks at you, he sees Jesus Christ. Your sins are paid for. We have no longer have to worry about that. It's taken care of. Sin is no longer the issue. Sin was taken care of 2,000 years ago. Look over with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Because of the grace that we have in Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. We talked about it a little bit in Sunday school this morning, but our sins were taken care of 2,000 years ago. It's no longer, you don't go to hell because of your sins. Your sins were paid for 2,000 years ago. It is now a son question, and do you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did for you on the cross of Calvary? In Romans chapter 3, 24, it says, we are therefore justified. And the word justified means declared not guilty by his grace through the redemption in Christ Jesus. We are no longer guilty. He took care of that for us. So the grace that is in Christ, we are free from the guilt of sin. Sin is no longer a problem. Sin is no longer an issue. You don't have to beat yourself up over, again, it is our job to live according to the Spirit and live according to the Word of God. But when you fail, don't beat yourself up over it. The Lord Jesus Christ sees himself when he looks at you. Number two, we have the victory over the power of sin. Turn over with me to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on him, "And if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "And we are Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Again, Jesus offers to free us from the dominion of sin. We are no longer under that bondage of sin. We are no longer entangled to the slave of sin. We are free from the bondage of sin. Again, another part of it is that Jesus revealed that we cannot bear fruit apart from him. On our own, we can't bear fruit. Turn over with me to, again, John chapter 15. If you're right there. John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. No. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Through the grace that is in Christ Jesus, we can bear fruit. And that is what he calls us to do, is to bear fruit, so we can lead others to a saving knowledge of the Son. And that is what we are called to do as believers. By his grace, we are enabled to be a functioning member of his body. Each and every person that has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ becomes a part of the body of Christ. We all have a calling, we all have a job to do, and we are all a part of the body of Christ. Turn over with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 6, or verse 5. "So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." We all have a job to do. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with liberality, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Again, each and every one of us fit into that category somewhere. Not each and every one of us are called to be a pastor. Not each and every one of us are called to be up here preaching the sermons. Not each and every one of us are called to teach Sunday school. But we can encourage one another. "Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with all liberality." We all have gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. And that is what we are called to do. We need to be fruitful for the Lord Jesus Christ's service. Next thing I came up with is that we have a hope for a glorious future. And again, when the word hope comes out, many times it's wishful thinking. And in the Word of God, hope is never wishful thinking, but it's a guarantee. If you are a believer, we have a hope and a glorious future. Turn over with me to Titus chapter 3, verse 7. Titus chapter 3, verse 7. "That being justified by his grace." Again, we're not found guilty by his grace. We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We have the hope of eternal life. We have eternal life. You know, there is no past or present or future. When eternal life is the present and the present alone. And the minute you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That has already come about. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace." Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have good hope. Jesus has given us good hope by his grace. To continue on being strong in his grace, how do we become strong in his grace? How do we become strong in the grace of Jesus Christ? Again, it has nothing to do with us, but it comes back to obedience to his word. It's understanding the word of God, and it's digging into the word of God and being obedient to that. And it begins by obeying the gospel of Christ. If you want to be strong in his grace, you have to begin with him. It has to start with him, and it has to end with him. So again, to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, we have to put our faith and trust in him and believe the gospel. And the gospel for today is that you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is where we can begin. You know, we don't get all our strength all in one time. You know, we can because of the power of the Holy Spirit, but it takes our effort to build that strength. And I believe that strength, again, comes from the obedience to keep his word and observe his commandments and observe what the Lord Jesus Christ has for us. We need to obey the word of God. Another way, if we want to be strong in the grace, is through prayer. We have to do it through prayer. Prayer is the conduit through which we receive wonderful blessings in Christ. And many times people think, you know, I can change the Lord's mind, or if I pray for this situation, that, you know, maybe it'll work out in my favor. And prayer is much more for yourself than it is for the Lord. Prayer is to have that relationship. Think of prayer as a marriage, you know. If you don't talk to your spouse, there's no relationship there. There's no communication there. But many times we pray selfish prayers. But we've got to come back and realize that the prayer is for ourselves to change our own heart. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 3. Each and every one of us need to be in prayer. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. "That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." It starts from within. Again, after you believe the gospel, then we need to go to prayer if we want to build up our strength. If we want to build up, verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, it starts from within, and it starts with prayer. In Philippians, it talks about the peace that passes all understanding. And it can overcome anxiety. It can overcome fears. It can overcome struggles. When we're in tough situations, pray. When we're not in tough situations, pray. Have an open communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have that time that you can always talk to him. In Sunday school today, we were talking about salvation and how it should always be the first thing on our mind. And if we're constantly thinking about salvation and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, that open communication of prayer is constantly there. Communication. We're talking to him constantly. And that is what prayer is. It's pray without ceasing. Continue earnestly in prayer. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. We need to be in prayer at all times. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ calls us to do. And if what he's telling Timothy, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." This is how we do it. If we want to be strong in the word of God, if we want to be strong with our families, if we want to be strong in what the Lord Jesus Christ has called us to do, be in prayer. Next thing I put is through interaction with believers. We need to interact with one another. We need to interact. You know, many people don't think we need church today. Many people say the church is within. But you can't build strength. You can't grow and stronger in your spiritualness if you don't interact with believers. Christians are to be interdependent on one another. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting with verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Greeks, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, and were, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Again, each and every one of us has a calling from the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter where you fit. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter how or what's going on. Without the ear, how would it hear? Without the eye, how could it see? We all have a calling from the Lord Jesus Christ. And it comes from interacting with believers and interacting with one another and encouraging each other to grow in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Turn over with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. We need to get together. We need to join together. But exhorting one another. And so much the more. That tells us to do it more. And I feel like today we're doing it less and less. If we get 30 minutes on Sunday morning, we're good. If we show up for an hour on Sunday morning, that I checked it off my list. I did my job. The Word of God says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Does anybody believe the day's approaching? Are we getting anywhere closer? Are we closer than 2,000 years ago? Let's get together and encourage one another. Let's build each other up. Let's unify and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the grace of Christ comes to those belonging to a body in which each part does its share. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In conclusion, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It first tells us that receive not the grace of God in vain. And it says, today is the day of salvation. Again, if you have never put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship. We can't do it for you. It's not our choice. We can't help you along. We can teach you and we can explain to you what the Word of God says. But if you want to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, you have to put your faith and trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is where it begins. And then if you want to ensure that we benefit from the riches of grace in Christ, we have to be strong in these things. We have to be obedient. We have to be obedient to His Word. We need to be in prayer. And we need to be interacting with believers. And that can build us up. That can encourage us. We all go through the same struggles. Yes, they may be different situations. They may be different people. But we all go through the same struggles and the same choices in life. So I just pray that each and every one of us can be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Let us close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for the Word of God. We just thank You for what the Apostle Paul has written to us. And we just thank You that for the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That You can build us up through prayer, through being obedient, through sharing the gospel. We just thank You for what Your Son did on the cross of Calvary. There's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves, but it is to put our faith and trust in You. And we pray in Your precious Son's name. Amen.